Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
So good, so kind, so merciful, so just.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Yesterday we were speaking somewhat about faith, and today the focus seems to be through the readings a good bit on the vastness of the mercy of God. And part of faith, part of understanding whether you have faith or not, part of that is to trust God, that when God says he forgives, he does. We have to come to him and ask for it. But know that we will receive it because his mercy endures forever. We don't do that. That's not the human condition. We're much more narrow. But we can become like Christ in giving forgiveness, in giving mercy to others. Let's take a look at the readings for today. The first is from the prophet Daniel, chapter 3. Verse 25, and then verses 34 to 43. 3:25, verses 34 to 43. And again, bring your scripture with you. Even if the translation is slightly different, bring your scripture with you. Because when you get it through both senses, both through sight and through hearing, it has an effect. So keep a Bible near to wherever it is that you listen to Food for the Journey. Azariah stood up in the fire and prayed aloud. Remember the three young men in the fiery furnace? For your name's sake, O Lord, do not deliver us up forever or make void your covenant. Do not take away your mercy from us. For the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, and Israel, your holy ones, to whom you promised to multiply their offspring like the stars of heaven or the sand on the shore of the sea. For we are reduced, O Lord, beyond any other nation, brought low everywhere in the world this day because of our sins. See that? Open admission. We have in our day no prince, prophet, or leader. We have no burnt offering, sacrifice, oblation, or incense, no place to offer first fruits to find favor with you. But with contrite heart and humble spirit, let us be received. As though it were burnt offerings of rams and bullocks or thousands of fat lambs, so let our sacrifice be in your presence today as we follow you unreservedly. Remember, he's in the fiery furnace. We follow you unreservedly, for those who trust in you cannot be put to shame. And now we follow you with our whole heart. We fear you and we pray to you. Do not let us be put to shame, but deal with us in your kindness and your great mercy. Deliver us by your wonders and bring glory to your name, O Lord. And they came out of the fiery furnace with not even a singe of clothing or skin, nothing. Even the smell of the fire was not there. When we pray, even in the midst of extremely difficult situations, and we pray honestly, and we admit our sins, God will hear us. Psalm 25, remember your mercies, O Lord. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your kindness are from of old. In your kindness, remember me because of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his way. Humility isn't groveling, you know, down on the ground. Oh, I'm nothing but a worm. I'm nothing. It's not that external approach to humility. And that's all it sometimes is words. But real humility, remember, the definition of humility is truth. It's the truth, the objective truth. And if we admit that and take our place in it, then God can hear us because we're ordered rightly, we're oriented toward him, and we can hear his voice. Brothers and sisters, the Lord so wants to shape us more and more like him. And part of the truth is that I am man or woman. I'm not God. And God, you are the Savior. You are the Redeemer. You're the Sanctifier. You're the Holy One of Israel. And we come before you and we admit our weakness and our sin. That's true humility. It's acknowledging the truth. Don't be afraid to be truthful with God. If you want him to draw near, walk in humility, walk in truth. It doesn't mean you have to tear yourself apart, but just to be able to admit, Lord, I've fallen short of the glory of God. I did this, I did that. Will you please forgive me? And it's given. Please ask God, perhaps during this Lent, ask God to make you more humble. That is, that you walk more in the truth of who you are and who God is. And you'll actually see yourself in a far better light when you see yourself as God sees you, really. And you might be condemning yourself, and God never condemns. So, brothers and sisters, open your heart to him in humility. Good and upright is the Lord, and thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his way. And the gospel is the gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times? It's kind of the perfect number, you see. So, do I have to do it seven times? And Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. In other words, he's multiplying it tremendously. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, this is Jesus instructing them. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. If you think, if you think punishment is great today, look at that. Your wife, your children, everybody's directly affected, and all your property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. He wiped it away because he came and begged for mercy. But when that servant had left, the one who'd just been forgiven, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back, just what he had said earlier. But he refused. He was granted answer to his request, but he then turns and refuses to grant the request of another that's in the same vein. But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed. And they went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? And then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. Brothers and sisters, this may be the only verse in Scripture that you should pay attention to during this Lenten season. If you are harboring unforgiveness, if you have refused to forgive another because what they did to you was hard, and they came to you asking for forgiveness, and you're going to say no, think of what God has forgiven you in your lifetime. Think about that. What has God forgiven you in your lifespan? What do we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses. Say it with me. As we forgive those who trespass against us. You're indicting yourself. Forgive me, Lord, the way I forgive others. If there's nothing else you do during Lent, this is an area to pay attention to, significant attention to. Are you willing to forgive? Because God will forgive every debt you bring to Him. He will forgive. So if God is doing that for us, then what should we be doing for others? Yes, I know there are many angles to this, but at the heart of it is the hardness of your own heart to refuse to extend mercy. Mercy means it's not deserved. God forgives us, and it's certainly not deserved. Sometimes we run into confession, we'll forgive, ask forgiveness for our sins, and we walk out and we just say, okay, now we're fine. No, we're not fine. Go and sin no more. That's a process too. Go and sin no more. But He gave us the Lord's Prayer, brothers and sisters. I know I'm repeating myself here, and I'm doing it on purpose. I want you to hear this. God forgives you. In turn, you need to forgive others. And we've talked a lot, I've referred a lot on this program, John Paul's teaching that forgiveness is not the opposite of justice. It's not the opposite of justice. You can forgive, and perhaps the situation is so grievous that some justice needs to be given to the situation. But it's what goes on in your heart. If you reject the person, you block the person out. I know people who haven't spoken to a relative for 20 or 25 years. And when you ask them what the problem was, they can't remember the details of it anymore. But boy, golly, they've hardened their hearts. And when you harden your heart like that in unforgiveness, you harden your heart against God's word to you, God's grace to you, God's kindness to you. You're shutting that off from yourself. It's stupid. Pardon me, but it is. But we don't think that way. It's just when something's been done to us that's wrong, we think, by golly, I'm owed something. And you are owed an apology. And if restitution needs to be made, yes, they should make restitution. But you don't go around hardening your heart against the person. You pray that they may have the grace to ask for forgiveness, that they may have the grace to go to the Lord and seek forgiveness. Pray for them. Pray for your persecutors. Pray for those who hurt you. They could become your friends. Brothers and sisters, if God did not forgive us, what would we have to look forward to? And we pray, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Is your prayer genuine or is your prayer a lie? That you have no intention of forgiving anyone. Be very, very careful, because you block yourself from the grace of God. You block out God's work in you. May you open your heart to be like Jesus and to forgive as we have been forgiven. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.